We told him the most boring player in baseball. And Mason, were you like going, oh my God, I hope we sign Freddie Freeman. I hope we sign Freddie Freeman this offseason. Because I was, and all I could think about was our conversation from a year ago where he's the most boring player in baseball. Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Ancona. Here at the Monarch Experience Podcast, we are all about student voice. We are all about giving students a platform to be able to voice their opinions about what matters most to them. And today, it's springtime. The flowers are blooming. Hot dogs are being consumed. It's baseball time, and we're talking baseball as we get ready for the 2022 MLB season. So many things to talk about on this episode. And we've got Mason and Jeremy. That's right, the same Mason, the same Jeremy, who have been on the podcast talking about baseball predictions for the last 3 years. So grateful and so pumped to have them on again. We're going to be chatting about tons of stuff. We're going to be talking, obviously, making all of our division picks. We're going to be chatting about Rookie of the Year, Cy Young candidates, MVP awards. We're going to be chatting about our World Series picks, of course. And of course, because this is New Jersey, we're going to be chatting about Yankees and Mets and the expectations for each of those teams in their season. But before we launch into any of that, make sure that you're following us on social media so you can keep yourself updated with all of the happenings with the Monarch Experience Podcast. Find us on Snapchat at the Monarch Experience Podcast. Look for the ball dude. Say hi. You can find us at Twitter at TheMonarchXP, and you can find us on TikTok at MonarchXP. Without further ado, let's jump right into this. We got Mason, we've got Jeremy, we're talking baseball. A long-standing tradition at this point. We've got Jeremy and Mason back. Mason, so great to see you.
What's up, everyone?
Third episode that you've done just on baseball.
Yep.
You know what that means. You know who's going to be pissed now, right?
Who?
Did you beat Ishika?
Did I?
I think so. Right? You guys were like neck and neck. Yeah. I think you were tied or you had one up on her.
Yeah, I don't remember because this is my thing is my fourth one like in total.
No, I think you had more than that.
Or maybe I did.
Because you did Star Wars at least.
Oh, three. Yeah. So I had at least five.
Yeah. Yeah, man, you've been on almost as many episodes as I have at this point. Mason, it's great to see you, man. What are you up to now? Playing baseball?
Yep, just a lot of baseball, school, hang out with friends. That's about it.
Very nice. Jeremy, it's great to have you back. Jeremy, what's going on?
What's up? I'm excited to be here.
I know you are. You are very excited for this upcoming baseball season. And obviously, we'll get there in due time. So hold on your Mets. Maybe we should make Jeremy wait until the end. And like we'll do the NL East last just to torture him.
I'm fine with that, saving the best for last.
Oh, I like it. Nice. I hope you have the same optimism 3 weeks into the season when like Scherzer goes down, DeGrom hurts a lat and mysteriously, you know, doesn't go for an MRI or anything, but is shut down for the rest of the year. So I figured the best way to start this, no getting to know you question needed. I think we know each other pretty well. Let's revisit some of our picks from last year's. I went Dodgers-Yankees, like the most stereotypical, easy pick possible, and I was way off. So, yeah, let's start off by just letting everyone know. Obviously, none of us know anything. Mason, who was your pick last year?
I think I also had the Dodgers and Yankees. Cause,
I think so, too.
Yeah, I was confident. Like, I really thought it was the Yankees' year.
Me too.
But obviously, it was not.
No, it was not.
And same with the Dodgers. I think this year, the Dodgers are stacked as they possibly can be. So, yeah. I'm excited to see what happens with them.
Jeremy, you said, what'd you say, Mets versus the Mets? Mets were going to split into the AL, and they were going to do like an intra-squad thing.
Yeah, I had a few picks.
You had a few picks.
Like the White Sox, Dodgers. Mm. I don't think I had the Astros anywhere. The Braves came out of nowhere. Like I knew they were going to be a good team, but right in July when Acuna goes down, they were a mess, and I'm shocked they won the World Series.
And then they had that issue with Ozuna?
Yeah. So yeah, they had their two best outfielders out, yep. and then they just traded, and they got pieces, and the pieces came up most when it mattered.
Can we just say the lockout sucked?
It was awful.
It was horrible.
Like, it just sucked.
It was like 100 days, and there were zero meetings for the first 41.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys followed it too in tune. I really didn't. I just kind of was like, all right, when are we playing baseball again? When are we doing this? When are we going to unfreeze this? And to me, my biggest issue with all of it was it just feels like, and the rule changes, I feel like maybe I'll probably rant on this in a second. I just feel like baseball is run by a commissioner who, not saying that the lockout was the commissioner's fault, like he works for the owners. It's an owners and players thing. But man, Manfred just, I feel like, doesn't like baseball.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Manfred. Compared to commissioners like the NBA commissioner, who I feel like does a great job. The NBA has so much excitement because of Adam Silver.
Yeah.
And then just look at Robert Manfred, who everyone hates. I don't think there's a baseball fan that likes him.
No. And also like Howard David Stern. Yeah, man, I don't know. Manfred just rubs me the wrong way. And I think some of the rule changes too that have kind of like to me, and I probably said this last year, it feels like they are trying to cater baseball towards the non-fans, thinking that shortening the game 15 minutes is going to bring in this young audience that just doesn't care about baseball. And all you're doing in the process is you're alienating all of the current fans that you currently have.
Yeah, one thing that the thing I don't understand about the whole lockout thing was obviously the commissioner's job. I mean, the commissioner's job is to get people to want to watch baseball. So I don't know why, like, I don't understand why they would have a lockout in the first place, because they're just pushing the date back when baseball can start and restricting people from watching the game, which is what they want people to do.
Yeah. No, I don't think Manfred actually wants people to watch baseball. I'm convinced. Like, all this stuff, like the ghost runner, and we'll start by chatting about a couple of the rule changes. Like, the ghost runner nonsense on second and extra innings is terrible. Jeremy, you agree?
Yeah, I don't know why, like, how they have the need to, like, have a runner on second. It just makes no sense. Like, why are we awarding a team? So, let's say the Yankees are tied, like, 4-4. Giancarlo Stanton strikes out in the bottom of the ninth. Why does he get one?
Ouch.
Why does he get – I hate Giancarlo Stanton. After how I lost in fantasy. But, like, why is he awarded to go on second to start the inning in the bottom of the 10th? And it just puts players in, like, unnecessary situations.
Yeah, I don't like the ghost runner at all. I think it's useless because it defeats the whole purpose of having extra innings, because it's just going to – usually the game will end after the first, like, extra inning.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me, that's not how baseball is played. I don't have an issue where if it's, like, 15 innings or 12 innings on, fine. You're trying to, like – you know, not have this game go into 18-8. But that doesn't happen often. Like, that so rarely occurs that you can't – I don't think you can make a rule for something that doesn't happen regularly. Other rule changes you guys have any issues with? Shift?
I liked the shift. I feel like you shouldn't be able to have four infielders on one side of the infield, so they should have implemented rules. But just taking it out, I don't like – like, players like Joey Gallo shouldn't be, like, they should be punished for only being able to hit to one side of the field. Like,
punish him. Yeah, Joey Gallo, you're grounded.
Yeah, but they should have, like, modified shifts. Like, shifts just being banned altogether. I don't like these shifts. Also added strategy and made the game more entertaining.
Yeah, yeah, I just don't understand why Joey Gallo is the one that's like, he is like the poster child for, like, you know what? Let's change the whole concept of defensive alignments for Joey Gallo, a guy who can't hit 200. Mason, what's your take?
I don't like the no shift rule, because my main point that I was focusing on was obviously, like, having a shift is strategy. And if you take strategy out of the game, it allows players to, you know, get in between your game plan. For example, like, I don't know, the only person that's coming to mind is Joey Gallo.
Yeah.
Obviously, he pulls the ball a lot. He hits the ball to one side of the field. So if they can't do the shift, then he's just going to keep getting base hits in the gap when it could be prevented if they were able to have a shift.
Yeah, it just feels silly. Like, it's almost like Could you imagine, like, football? They're like, all right, this team really is good at running the ball. So you're not going to be able to bring eight men in the box anymore to stop the run. Like,
makes no sense.
It makes no sense. And I don't think anyone would be okay with that. Like, because that isn't a traditional defensive front to stack the box and have eight guys in. It's part of the game. You take advantage of what the defense is giving you. And if they're shifting, got to go the other way. Or someone like Gallo, you're paying to hit it over the shift.
Yeah.
Mason, you know who I'm thinking of is Mark Teixeira. He should come out of retirement. Uh-huh. Now that the shift is banned, the dude would hit 330 again.
Uh-huh.
You may have been a little too young to watch Teixeira during his prime, but like he was like the poster guy for, man, like he's hitting into the shift constantly, all of the time. Like, why can't he lay down a bunt? And Teixeira even said, I remember, like, they're not paying me $250 million to bunt it down the third baseline. They're paying me to hit it over their head or over the wall. And that's what my goal is to do. And like, I keep working on that. So, yeah. And then other ones, Shohei Ohtani rule. Pitchers can now become a DH when they leave the game.
I think that one's pretty cool. I mean, it's a minor one. I don't think it'll be like used that much, but I could see like another team like the Reds. They have like a bullpen game, so they start Michael Lorenzen, who could also hit. So I feel like that could be cool if they want to give Michael Lorenzen an at bat or two right after he comes out of the game to pitch. So I'm very curious to see how that'll be used, and obviously that helps Ohtani massively.
Yeah. It feels like it's just for Ohtani, I guess. So I'm trying to think of, Jeremy, you would know better than I. Like, are there teams that this is really going to affect outside of the Angels?
Not going to like change how they play, but it like you might put DeGrom in for an at bat. Now it gives like a team like the Mets. DeGrom's a good hitter. You could get another at bat with DeGrom if you wanted to.
I don't really have strong opinions on it.
Yeah, me neither. But it feels like you mentioned DeGrom. That kind of feels like the opposite of the whole universal DH. It's like, why would you then want to have DeGrom taking at bats, especially with how frail he can be at times? He's not frail, but you know, the concern is he's your ace, he's your stud, he's your franchise. That like you really don't want to put him in any kind of precarious situation. Do you guys like the universal DH? Or Jeremy, let me ask you first, since you're the NL guy, do you like the universal DH?
I like it because there were just unnecessary injuries happening with pitchers. Like, there was a bad one last year. I forgot who. It was someone in the NL Central. Pitcher goes up to hit and then, like, busts their knee and is out for 2 months.
Yeah.
And also now it allows lineups to get another batter in. So teams like the Mets, the Dodgers, the Padres all be more exciting to watch. And I like how there's now the DH. It gets the extra batter in there.
Mason, what are your thoughts? Do you care at all as a Yankee, as an AL fan? Like, do you care?
I mean, not specific to the Yankees, but I think I actually like the universal DH just because I feel like it gives all the teams more like leverage and like more strategy for specific teams, and like based on the DH, they can mix and match based on who they're playing. Like, I feel like it just gives the team more leverage.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like an old man yelling at clouds right now. Where I'm like, there was something kind of or like just very cool about the leagues having different rules like that. I know a lot of people will argue and say like that's why it's such a bad idea. You can't have like two leagues under the same umbrella, like having different rules. But I kind of like it. Baseball's not meant to be symmetrical all the time. I mean, it's the only sport where the dimensions in which they play are different for every single team. Like, could you imagine if like the Jets had 150 yards and like the Denver Broncos had 75 yards, like just how that would just throw things off. We'd be arguing like, well, is their offense really better? They have 25 less yards to go. You know, I don't know. Like, I kind of like that about baseball. And I think there was something cool about, like, for me as an AL fan, when I'd watch an NL game, it to me, it would just be like, oh my God, how do they navigate this? Like, how do they're doing the double switch. He's moving him there. Like, you're thinking ahead an inning because of who's coming up at the bottom of the lineup with the pitcher. Like, there was just something that was very foreign, exotic for me as an AL fan. But I'll get used to it, I'm sure. I'm sure I won't miss actually watching a game in July, watching a pitcher take strike one, take strike two, and then, like, you know, just barely swing on strike three and get called out. All right. What about the playoffs?
I like it. Added another team, gives more baseball. There was a proposal to get six teams in each division, which it is six teams. So it was seven teams that they proposed. And I was a little bit more like on that one, but I like six because that adds another it adds another baseball game.
Yeah.
And gives one more team a chance to win a World Series. And also now more teams will be buyers at the deadline, causing more games down the stretch.
You like so seven was too many, but six was okay.
Yeah, I think six is good.
All right. I can get behind that. I think seven is too many also. To me, it feels like, man, you're really going to water down like the 162. But it also allows competitive games in August and September for teams that would have been out of it. And I think that helps ticket sales. I think it's just probably good all around, even if, you know, there's something kind of cool about like, all right, we're in this for the long haul. But yeah, I like six. Mason, you like it too?
Yeah, I agree with Jeremy because I feel like with the more teams, there's more baseball. And I feel like with the more teams that are like the lower seeds, they can bring more like joy and excitement for their fan base. And then that could expand to like, I'm just thinking about St. Peter's. Like they got the entire Northeast behind them.
Ah, yeah. That's a great example.
Yeah, like the lower seed going so far. Like I feel like that I really can see that happening in the MLB.
Yeah, no, I think that's awesome. So let's get right into it. A lot of rule changes this offseason, especially for an offseason that was mainly negative. I think most people are like you guys. You're thinking this is a good thing overall. Let's start with Jeremy's Mets. We are a New Jersey podcast, so we're going to chat about Yankees and Mets first, expectations, and then we'll make all our division picks and go through all that fun stuff with baseball. But let's start at the top. I'm going to start with the Mets, mainly because I think there's just way more excitement.
New York's buzzing right now.
Yeah. Don't take out your stupid take back the city or we own this town shirt until you guys at least win, like, I don't know, let's set the bar low, a World Series before you reclaim the city.
You got two.
All right, two. Take two.
I'm excited for the Mets. We got a lot to prove, but our rotation doesn't get much better than DeGrom and Scherzer at the top.
That's nuts, right? Do you think Scherzer's going to hold up? I feel like we've been saying for a couple of years, like, oh, he might be on the decline.
I mean, I think Scherzer's still got plenty in the tank. I mean, that's coming from a Mets fan, but Scherzer's just shown through the past few years he could still go out. He's going to compete. He's going to be incredible on the mound, and he looks like he's 25 out there still.
What I think Scherzer, the biggest part of signing him is just the competitiveness that he's going to bring to the locker room and how there's not going to be any like nonsense like with the Lindor Baez crap last year. I don't think there's going to be any like – I think if there's a player that can change the loser mentality of the Mets – I think it's Scherzer. And, I mean, maybe an overlooked piece of the whole Mets puzzle is, you happy with Buck Showalter?
He is the best short-term guy.
Yes.
We're in a spot to compete. So I was happy with the signing. Out of the other guys, it was Matt Quatro, who was like the Rays bench coach or the Astros bench coach, I forgot his name. I think Showalter was the best pick out of those three. So I definitely wasn't complaining there, but in 5-10 years, if Showalter's still our manager,
the book on him is that he'll get you just close to the promised land, and then the next guy will finish the race. But I mean, wouldn't it be a beautiful ending to this guy's career if like he can do it with of all teams, the Mets? I mean, they'd build a statue for him. They'd rename City Field. It'd be Buck Field. I'll root for the Mets, but you know, we kind of were talking about the Dodgers. They are the team in the NL, so it's going to be tough for the Mets to push past them. What's your realistic expectation, Jeremy? I know you said your expectation for the year was that they win two World Series this year alone, right?
We definitely got to make We're obviously going to make – well, I don't want to say obviously, but if we don't make the playoffs.
You say obviously, and that's going to come back and bite you guys. You know that, right?
Yeah, so not obviously, but I think – I feel confident with us making the playoffs, especially with that extra team. Mm. I think we'll fight for a division, like a little sneak peek, but I think we'll come out on top of the Braves. It'll be close, and I think we could compete with teams like the Brewers. I think we beat the Brewers in NLDS. But then I think we fall a game or two short by the Dodgers. I don't think we're there just yet.
So your expectation is like legitimately compete.
So even as a Yankees fan, I actually really like the Mets this season.
Me too.
I think their pitching rotation has obviously gotten extremely better. I think they have overall their lineup is very solid, and I think they can go like really far into the playoffs. Like, I mean, obviously. The ground, like the floor film, is not making the playoffs, but I think they definitely have potential to go very far in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too. You know what, Jeremy, let me throw out a scenario for you. I want to see which would hurt more. The Mets get swept by the Dodgers. I mean, keep in mind it's the Dodgers in the ALCS, and you could spin the narrative and say, man, they look like they didn't belong. Or you could spin it and say, the Dodgers are just a buzzsaw. Like, there's nobody stopping them. What would hurt more? They get swept by the Dodgers where they don't even compete in ALCS or NLCS? Or they lose they lose five in a heartbreaker, like, back and forth against the Brewers?
Both wouldn't feel too great.
Obviously.
The more likely one to happen, I feel like, is going to be the losing in the heartbreak to like the Brewers in the NLDS, just because of our bullpen.
Yeah.
Our bullpen's that one hole on our team. We have Edwin Diaz. Like, I think he's a good pitcher. He's just not the guy that you'll lay back and be like, oh, we have won this game.
Yeah, I agree.
He's on that trend, and he has stints where he'll be like that. But then there's some stints where...
Yeah.
Rough.
Yeah.
After Diaz, our setup guys are Trevor May and Seth Lugo, who I think are two good righty arms. And after that, I don't think we have a single lefty in the pen right now.
Okay.
I wanted us to get Andrew Chafin, who I thought was going to be a lefty, or I wanted us to re-sign Aaron Loop. Aaron Loop stepped up huge for us last season, and we're not going to have a replication of that. So it's going to hurt. Like, that's not us losing Aaron Loop's not like it's going to hurt us. So, I'm interested to see how our bullpen will take form and how that'll work. I think we could definitely buy a big lefty arm.
Sure.
I don't think like a Josh Hader level,
right?
But someone more like a above average lefty arm, and that could definitely improve us.
Yeah. So, which one? So, you dodged the question. Which one would you, if you had to pick, which heartbreak? And but when I say heartbreak, game five, I don't mean like a bad play. I just mean like you lay it all out on the field and they just got you beat. Or would you rather just get swept by the Dodgers?
Probably, I guess the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers are just that.
I think so too. Yeah, and like, to me, like it's like okay, they're that good. We're not there yet. We can close the gap. But we got to close the gap before we could beat them.
Like the Braves did it last year.
Yeah.
Dodgers got banged up. Braves got hot at the right time. Who's saying that can't happen to us?
Exactly. Well, speaking of us, Mason, how are you feeling about the Yankees offseason?
All right. Well, first of all, I think this Yankees season is either going to be a boom or a bust. I really don't like the Gary Sanchez and the Gio Urshela trade.
At all.
I don't know. I just feel like. I really like Gio Urshela. Like,
because
like,
of Gio, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like he's a solid player. He can play multiple positions.
Yeah.
And I feel like he didn't have enough time to like, actually prove himself because I know he's going to be good. As for Gary, I mean, I don't really mind trading him away because he's very inconsistent.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to lose Gio. And overall, I think as long as we can stay healthy and like limit all the strikeouts, which are bound to happen – I think we have a really good lineup that with a strong defense, and I think we can go pretty far. I think that I don't know if we're going to be able to win the division because I really like the Blue Jays this season.
Me too.
But I'm hoping we can clinch the wild card and hopefully go pretty far in the postseason.
It feels like everyone in the division, except for the Orioles, of course, everyone in the division has gotten better. And like, I'm kind of like, I mean, we're all scratching our heads. Like, I don't think the Yankees got better. I like moving Sanchez. The catcher they got, have you seen this guy? He's jacked.
No, I haven't seen him.
It's insane.
A lot of ball talent.
Yeah. I've kind of heard he's like defensive, but not, he's not going to really, they're going to split basically the catching duties, it sounds like.
Yeah,
between
go get some time. Yeah, there. I feel like it'll be a lot. It's like a platoon.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. Like, as long as I think what they're trying to do is addition by subtraction, and they're trying to just hope that they could cut down on Sanchez's base running blunders, the defensive ineptitude, and like that kind of lazy loser mentality we're talking about. Like that kind of like that feeling, and hopefully that'll be an addition because now you free up the DH spot. Because Sanchez is not a, you really don't want him catching. You really were keeping him around, hoping his bat would turn around. But like when the guy's hitting again, like 180, and he's just not that guy who, when he burst onto the scene and he hit like what, like 22 home runs in like 2 months, was nuts. He was getting comparisons to like Pujols, like just like his hitting stance alone. It's crazy to see how far that guy has fallen quite a bit. Well, I like the short.
Problem. The problem is you can't have a catcher that you don't, you're not comfortable being catcher.
So. Yeah, and I think you can't have a catcher that is not good defensively and is not great offensively. Like, you got to do one or the other at least.
Yeah, choose
suck
one.
Choose one to suck at. that would have been great advice for him. It still kind of burns me though that they got rid of Joe Girardi, and a big reason why was because of him being too hard on guys that were going to be the future, like Gary Sanchez. Yeah. And then after they got rid of Boone, not saying it's Boone's fault or anything, but once you got rid of him, Girardi, you never got that kind of production out of Sanchez again. Like he never came anywhere near close to it. And it's just kind of, I know it's what if. I don't mind the infielder's name, the shortstop.
Great defensive infield, but I can't see him hitting above the Mendoza line.
Really? Did he hit like 275 last year though?
I don't know what he hit.
I'm gonna pull it up as we're talking, and then he hit 271 last year.
I'm impressed because I've always known him as like the defensive first guy, defensive shortstop, and he'll hit like 210.
He had 600 at bats last year, and he struck out 90 times.
And that's what the Yankees need.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, 271 basically is like, 10 years ago that was like 333. So I'll take it. Like this guy's a contact hitter. He does not walk, but like I'll take that kind of production. I'm kind of getting like Didi vibes.
Yeah,
I love a guy over thinking like, all right, like defense, this guy's going to be a short-term fix. Obviously, the answer they think is Volpe.
He's maybe incredible.
Yeah, like I don't really – I get nervous. If Cash – you said, Mason, boom or bust, right?
Yeah.
If Cashman is hitching his wagon to Volpe, it is boom and bust for, I think, everybody in the organization from Cashman down, because if this guy comes up and flops or they – take a step back because they're waiting for him to develop in the majors, like they are in for a world of hurt.
You can't rely on one guy for the entire team, and that's kind of what they're doing, which is why I think it's really, they're either gonna be super good or they're gonna be horrible.
Cashman kind of has been operating the last couple of years as if he's the smartest man in baseball, and it's like it's worked. It really has worked, especially with the reload where A-Rod and Teixeira retired. They started trading guys off with Andrew Miller and Chapman and all the assets they got for that. And they really turned it around so much faster. And so he kind of was like smarter than everyone else. But man, I don't know. Jeremy.
I'm a huge fan of Volpe. Like I've watched some of his high school highlights. And he was teammates with Jack Leiter at Delbarden in New Jersey.
Okay.
I was on a board. I just watched like old New Jersey Sports Zones, like YouTube videos of like old baseball. there's a lot of like good stuff on him. But I was shocked. I was like, I would have bet money that the Yankees were going to sign like Trevor Story to like a 2-year.
Me too. Yeah.
Story bridge. That didn't happen.
A bridge contract.
Like 70 mil. Great money. And you know what? Volpe comes up. You start playing over Gleyber at second.
Yeah.
And then he starts to shine. Trade Story for some prospects. And it would be a team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
He's not paying him too much in his short term.
I agree. It's so risky. I mean, I guess they're looking at Isaiah Kiner, and they're like, okay, like this is going to be a guy who could be a cheaper bridge. He'll do the same thing, and we just don't have to go over the luxury tax. I don't know. There's just not a lot of after last year. It just felt like the Yankees had to do a splash to reignite the fan base because they were bringing back Boone, who, you know, I know a lot of people wanted fired. I was kind of like iffy. I could go either way. It doesn't feel like an exciting Yankee offseason. And with the rotation, there's like a lot of question marks for every guy. The ceilings are high. I liked Tyone down the stretch. I mean, Cole, you can't help but wonder, is it the sticky stuff?
Always the sticky stuff.
I mean, he had the injury in the end of August through September, I think, with a hamstring. So it's like, okay, like maybe it wasn't. But I mean, how can you not be cynical and think like, oh crap, maybe it was the sticky stuff?
Yeah.
Severino, you don't know what you're going to get from him because he's coming off of an injury. I like Montgomery, but I mean, like, I like Montgomery as like your fifth starter.
And he's like the four for you guys. You don't have like an obvious number two.
Right, exactly. And all I keep thinking is, man, I wish we had Tanaka.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could turn back time and just be like, all right, Tanaka's our number two, maybe our number three if Severino comes back and lights it up. And just we don't have a guy that you know what you're going to get.
But like, imagine the Yankees rotation if they go out and spend money. Even they don't need to get a top tier. They didn't need to get a top tier guy. Imagine they go and sign someone like Carlos Rodon, who takes the two spot. Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Cole, Rodon, Tyone.
Yeah.
That's a pretty solid pitching staff. And that's one question mark that you have on your team, and it's just gone. Nobody's going to worry about it.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't know. This is like the least excited I felt about the Yankees in a while.
And I remember you were ready to go. You thought very high things. And then they lost in the wild card.
Yeah. But baseball's a long season, so who knows? And we got a lot of divisions to cover. So last thing I'll say about the Yankees, come on, just bring back Brett Gardner. Just do it. They got his locker open. I don't know if you guys have heard this. Like, they haven't replaced this locker yet. The players are all like, when are they bringing back Brett? Come on, Brett. I know people are like, oh, Brett Gardner. Brett Gardner is a consummate professional. He is the typical player that has got grit that you only appreciate when he is no longer on your team and your team is quote unquote soft. You'll have people calling in the radio stations. I guarantee you in 3 years when the Yankees are a soft team saying, we need players like Brett Gardner who hustle. It's like, well, we had him and you didn't appreciate him and you hated him.
And Brett Gardner is the only player that's still on that team from the 2009 World Series.
Yeah,
and he's that guy in the clubhouse. He has experience, and he just gets the young guys, and even guys I'm willing to bet, he still gets like guys like Aaron Judge going.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's been huge on Judge's career. All right. So let's chat about some divisions. Let's start with the NL East. Who you guys got?
The New York Metropolitans.
Yeah.
I can finally say that with a little bit of confidence.
All right. So for all the reasons you said before, but talk us through why you don't think it's the Braves, why you don't think it's the Braves.
I think the Phillies also look good this year.
They could be.
Yeah. But the Braves, they like, I don't see a team losing their huge franchise player. The guy that we talked about, Freddie Freeman, last year.
Yeah.
And they guy.
We told him the most boring player in baseball. And Mason, were you like going, oh my God, I hope we sign Freddie Freeman. I hope we sign Freddie Freeman this offseason. Because I was, and all I could think about was our conversation from a year ago where he's the most boring player in baseball because he's consistent. Yep. Jeremy, you don't like Olson?
No.
As a replacement?
I think Olson was a good replacement. Just. he'll give great defense. I think even better defense than Freddie Freeman. Two really good defensive first basemen. And it's like a good bat. Just that clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that's scaring me.
It's the heart and soul, right?
Yeah, and Ronald Acuna Jr. is not coming back till probably mid-June. So that's going to get them in a divot. Their pitching staff doesn't, like, wow me. You've maxed Freed at the top. Then, like, you're going to go Yanoa at the three. Then you, like, there's nothing that really – like, I like that Kenley Jansen signing. I think that that's good. But that team just doesn't wow me. And the Phillies, I think their lineup's crazy. They're not winning a division unless if they win every game, like, 12 to 11.
yeah. Like, so you think there's going to be the hangover from the World Series? Not necessarily like, okay, this is who we are. We could do this all year.
Yeah, there'll definitely be some like doubts that just like go in losing Freddie Freeman. They still have a good lineup. You have Dansby, Austin Riley, who I thought was going to break out, and he did that. He was huge in the NLCS and World Series. And bringing back a guy like Eddie Rosario is big. They lost Jorge Soler, lost Adam Duvall, which those were the two big pieces that helped them. But they just like, I feel like they could replicate it. And I think they're a playoff team. Just, I want the Mets to have the upper hand, and I think it'll happen.
And enough has gone wrong.
Yeah.
That it's like, it's baseball, right?
Mets have been the Mets too many years.
Yeah. I like it. You're the eternal optimist. You see a guy in an 0-for-20 slump, and you're like, he's bound to break out of it now. Like, statistically, he has to get a hit. Mason, who's your pick in the NL East?
Well, as much as I don't want to say this as a Yankees fan, I actually do think that the Mets have the best shot at winning, especially because the Braves, they obviously lost Freddie Freeman, and the Mets have a great pitching rotation. And it's not just Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. It's also Taijuan Walker, who I really like.
Yeah.
And then even though the Mets, they lost Michael Conforto, they also got many, many extremely good players like Eduardo Escobar and Starling Marte. I like both of them. I really like both of them. And I feel like even before they started signing all these players, they had a pretty solid lineup like from the start. And I think as long as they limit the injuries, I think they can win the division.
And Buck Showalter is going to squeeze the most amount out of their entire team. And I think that's where, I mean, baseball manager, I know, isn't like the most important coaching position in most of the four major sports. But I mean, Buck can get you a good, 7-10 wins probably just based off the fact that he's Buck Showalter and he knows more baseball than – no, any of us combined have even like seen. I'm still going with the Braves, though. I think the loss of Freddie Freeman was huge, but I do think production on the field, Matt Olson, I think will – he's not Freddie Freeman, but I think he will be defensively, like you said, Jeremy. I think he's great. I think offensively, though, I think you know you're going to have some power there. But I still think the Mets are going to – they'll make the wild card – but I think they'll lose out the division maybe by like two games. Like, I think it's going to be close. All right, let's move on to the NL Central. I got the Brewers winning. Their pitching staff is killer. I know, Jeremy, you like their pitching too.
Yeah, I like the Brewers too. I think Corbin Burns, top three pitcher in baseball. I don't think he's better than Gerrit Cole just yet, but I'm also a big fan of him. I took him first round in my fantasy league.
Did you?
There's a little bit of bias there.
Nice.
And my Cy Young pick also might have a little bit of bias. He might be my second round pick, but but their bullpen doesn't get much better than Hader. Devin Williams' stuff's nasty. He won the Rookie of the Year, so if he could get all that together, I think the lineup is good enough to put up enough runs to like support the pitcher. It doesn't. It's not good enough to like win a World Series, in my opinion. I mean, this might come back to bite me, but.
Hey, the Braves did it. I mean, who knows? Yeah. The Brewers like feel like that kind of dark horse candidate.
And I know everyone said this. They said this last year. They said this in 2020. Well, like midway through 2020. I think Christian Yelich still has some in the tank. I think he'll get something going. He won't go back to MVP form, but he'll go back to like right around All-Star form.
Isn't it crazy how he dropped off seemingly kind of like out of nowhere, this guy was like top five player in baseball. And then now, like 3 years, 2 years later, he's a nobody.
Yeah, I think it went very unnoticed. Like, it was a very slow, but like, then when you realize it, you're like, oh, he really fell off.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he just fantasy wise, like, he was easily your top five pick. And
now I think he went late. He probably went 20th round. I got him like the 20th.
I saw his name. I know we're not talking fantasy, but like, I remember seeing his name when I was doing my draft, and I was like, that can't be the same guy. No way. How is he still here? And I'm like, man, that dude, that's jeez. Mason, who you got for the NL Central?
I also have the Brewers. I really, really like their pitching staff, especially the starters. They have Corbin Burns, they have Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, and then obviously Josh Hader leads the bullpen. I think their lineup, as Jeremy said, I feel like they have enough. I think they have enough to win the division. And if Yelich, obviously he's back, if he can, I think he can provide a lot for the team and lead them all the way.
This division's so interesting because it's like always just such like a mush of teams that are like, all right. Like it feels like the last like 10 years, there hasn't been a superstar team to come out of the NL Central.
Yeah.
That's just me.
No, I feel like you're right. Besides the 2016 Cubs.
Yes. Yeah.
Right now the Reds are sellers. They gave away their entire team.
Yeah.
The Cubs like signed Stroman, but they're nowhere near a spot. That's not even confusing to me. And the Pirates, like...
The Pirates are the Pirates. Yeah, the Pirates have a beautiful stadium. They have the most beautiful ballpark. Yeah. That's all they got. Which, you know, it's a genius marketing strategy where it's like, come see our ballpark. It's beautiful. Our team sucks, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that division. NL West, we all going to go Dodgers.
Yeah.
All right, yeah. So
Dodgers.
Why do you love the Dodgers?
Their infield.
There's a million reasons to love them. But yeah. I mean, what? Start naming a few.
Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
First name that comes to mind.
Which is nuts. Like a year ago, we're like most boring player in baseball, and now we're like they just got the most steady, consistent player that you can basically fill on a team that is already stacked. Mm-hmm. How do you make them better? Just get this defensive first baseman who is going to hit 300 and you know he's going to hit 30 home runs.
Yep.
And don't forget, the Dodgers now have a DH, so they get another hitter in the lineup every night.
Dude, I didn't even think of that.
Now, what they could do, which I think they'll do a lot, is DH Will Smith, who's
an
incredible hitting catcher, and then have Austin Barnes catching right at the 9 hole.
Yeah, which is insane to think that like their lineup, their bottom third of their lineup could start on most teams, basically.
Yeah.
Like, who are you going to put at the bottom of your lineup? Turner?
Yeah.
Muncy?
Justin Turner. Muncy, I guess Muncy's like a six hitter on that lineup. And Muncy's probably going to play second for them, I guess. And I think he's top five second baseman in baseball. It's like their six hitter.
Yeah. Crazy. Actually,
Cody Bellinger is probably going to be seventh in that lineup.
That's nuts. Like, Cody Bellinger, like, being seventh. But the thing with him, though, is I could kind of see him, all right, like, it's not working out.
Oh, his downfall was so, like quick because he came out 2019, April and May. He hit the cover off the ball.
Yeah.
Destroyed the baseball. Like,
yeah.
I think I remember him getting Barry Bonds comparisons. Like they weren't as serious. Like they weren't that serious. They were like, "Oh my god, he's hitting the ball like Barry Bonds."
Yeah, yeah.
And I think his downfall is basically the opposite of Christian Yelich. Because I feel like it was so much more noticeable.
Yes. And
like it was a more steep downfall.
He was flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Yelich had at least a few years where like you were like, "This guy's legit. He's got a back of a baseball card at least that you can look at." And like Bellinger, it felt like as fast as he rose, he just dropped completely off the planet. Is anyone going to compete with them? Do you think anyone could even give them somewhat of a run for their money?
I do not think so.
Yeah, no one. I don't think so either.
Because
like that happened last year. Like I posted on my Snapchat story a video. It was a picture. The San Francisco Giants lost on opening day, and I was watching that game. So their bullpen, I remember like guys like Camilo Doval came out of there. I'm like, who is that? So I screenshot the Giants bullpen. I'm like, yeah, this team's not winning more than 70 games. And they'll win the NL West.
Mason, what were you going to say?
I don't think any other teams can even compete because the Giants, they lost Kevin Gausman and Buster Posey. That's huge.
Yeah.
And then obviously Fernando Tatis is hurt and no one knows when he's going to come back.
Yeah.
And
it's like wrist and hamstring and oblique for baseball players. You can't say, okay, 3 months, he'll be back. He's fine.
Yeah. I also just can't get over how stacked the Dodgers lineup is. It's like, it's just, I can keep going on and on just naming players and like the bottom of the order are still stars.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like they're a team that like their lineup, not that you want anyone to get hurt or it's never ideal, but it's like they and the Blue Jays are two teams that I feel like really could take a hit and lose key guys for a couple of months and probably not miss a beat.
Yeah. And they have a lot of depth.
Yeah. And speaking of the Blue Jays, let's go right over the AO. AO East, I hate to say it, I want to pick the Yankees just out of optimism, and I'm usually pretty optimistic, but I have to be realistic here. I think the Blue Jays are winning the division. I also think, spoiler alert, I think the Blue Jays are going to the World Series, but we'll tackle that in a little more detail. I wouldn't be shocked either.
Yeah,
Blue Jays, their lineup is insane. Same thing. Bottom of their lineup is crazy.
Their pitching rotation impresses me even more.
Yeah.
All five of their guys.
You like Berrios a lot.
I love Berrios.
I do too.
Yeah. So they have Gausman, who's their ace. They finally have a guy in Gausman. You know, Gausman's 1 year wonder. They're fine. They have Jose Berrios. They have Alec Manoah, who's up there, who's getting up there. He's going to be great. They have Yusei Kikuchi, who's their five starter. He was the number two guy on the Seattle Mariners who missed the playoffs by a game. So their rotation is incredible. And they have prospects like Nate Pearson, who started a little bit last year, had some arm injuries, and but now he's going to go to like a long relief for like a bullpen role. And I think he'll start getting into the flow of Major League Baseball, and then he'll get so much better. And now if someone like Yusei Kikuchi gets hurt, he'll slide into that five spot and he'll never give it back.
Yeah. I also think the Blue Jays are winning the division. Obviously, they have Matt Chapman now, and he's great defensively, and he can still hit the ball. I also think they have an extremely solid lineup. I mean, they have Vladdy, they have Bo Bichette, and I think that the thing about the Blue Jays is I feel like you can match them up with any team in the entire league, and I feel like they can still win. Like, they can still compete with any team.
Yeah. There's a part about the Blue Jays that is maybe going under notice, too, and as of right now, at least I believe this is accurate, there's going to be a lot of players that are not going to be able to play in Canada because of the vaccine restrictions or requirements. And
oh, yeah.
Talk about a home field advantage.
All 40 guys on the Jays are vaccinated, so they're all good to go.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was the concern with the Yankees until they just lifted it as of when we're recording on March 29th. They lifted it last week in New York. But – oh, man, that's going to be really problematic when the Yankees are basically have half of their lineup. Judge not being there alone, like that's huge, and they're trying to compete. And then obviously the rest of the division too. So I think that division is really going to kind of cannibalize themselves a bit, kind of like the NL Central, I think. But I think the Blue Jays are going to rise to the top. Red Sox, go ahead.
I like that signing. I don't think they'll be far behind. I think
I'm not scared of the signing. Like, I was more like, damn, why didn't we get him for a couple years?
But the Red Sox pitching rotation, I think they're all ready to make the next step. Nathan Eovaldi, Nick Pivetta, and Tanner Houck. So three great righty arms, and they're ready to go. So I think the Red Sox are an easy wild card team. And don't count the Rays out.
No, you can't. That's the worst part. It's like The Rays could sit idly and do nothing and just go, yeah, we're going to win 90 games. It doesn't matter.
They're so young. They have Wander Franco, who's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
Shane Baz, who's another hot, really high-touted prospect. It's insane.
Who do you think needs to have an MVP-type season on the Yankees in order for them to legitimately compete?
I would say Glaber.
Every year I would say DJ LeMahieu and Brett Gardner. So I'm going to say Brett Gardner this year.
But I feel like he needs to do even better. I don't know. I feel like if he does good, I feel like everyone else would follow him because he's not one of like the stars in the team because he's not like a Aaron Judge, not Giancarlo Stanton. But I feel like if he leads the way, I feel like they could follow and he just helped out the entire team.
I could see that. You know what? I could double down on that too because Glaber was supposed to be the guy.
A guy that's really interesting this year for the Yankees is Joey Gallo. You gave up so much draft capital prospects for him, and he didn't do anything last year. If he could go out there and hit 50 home runs, possible.
It's definitely possible. Yeah. Now that the shift is gone, right?
I can spread the ball around the field. There's no pressure for me to just hit the ball auto, which I still can't do. And he just hits the ball. He hits the ball incredibly hard.
Let's go to the AL Central. Who are you going with?
AL Central, I think either the White Sox or the Twins. So I'll start with the White Sox. If they can stay healthy, I think Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert they'll lead the way. They're very young. They have a very young team. They have Andrew Vaughn, Michael Kopech, who's very, very good. I mean, they have a great bullpen with Liam Hendricks. I think they have the upper hand. They have an advantage over the Twins. The only reason I'm saying the Twins in the first place is just because they just signed Carlos Correa. And they also have Gary Sanchez now and Gio Urshela. I mean, who knows? Maybe it's what Gary Sanchez needed. He needed to get out of New York because there's a ton of pressure.
Yeah. Wouldn't that kill you, though? I got to be happy for him. I have no ill will towards him. Yeah. Like, he seems like a good dude. Wouldn't that kill you if Sanchez hits like 265, 38 Obviously. Home runs, drives in 120?
Honestly, no, just because I don't think he would be able to do it in New York.
I agree. There is no chance that ship has sailed so long ago. There's no way it would have. There's just no way.
Yeah, I agree with him for a lot of the same reasons.
Me too.
I think Luis Robert, he's an MVP candidate. I would not be surprised if he won. He's ready to take that step. He has tools everywhere. He's a five-tool player.
Yeah.
He's fast. He can hit fields, can run, everything. Full package.
Yeah. I think they're going to have a hard time getting past the Blue Jays. But, I mean, I think the division is theirs. I think the Twins will be better than most people think for all the reasons that Mason said also. And then last division, honestly kind of like the least exciting division for me, is the AL West. I know you like the Mariners.
We're everywhere here.
Yeah, I think that's why – maybe that makes it exciting. I don't know. I had a hard time. I kind of just went with the Astros just because, Jeremy, you love the Mariners.
Yeah, I'm
– Why? Really-
on the Mariners, they're so exciting in my opinion. They have so much to prove, so young of a team.
Jesse Winker, I love that dude.
Yeah, the Mariners are my second favorite team. They have been for a few years.
Really?
Now. Like, I don't really have a reason why. Just now I'm like, they get me excited just how they're looking. And you saw back when they were like a game away from the playoffs.
Yeah.
Completely sold out in Safeco Field, who they normally get 15,000 people a game. Now they're completely packed and everyone has the yellow I believe signs. They now have that ace that they needed.
Yeah.
They got Robbie Ray, which I like that signing. I thought the price was good on that too. Because I thought Robbie Ray was going to get overpaid for us winning the Cy Young, but I thought they did a fine job on that. They have such a young team. Julio Rodriguez and Jared Kelenic, who were both like top five prospects last year. Jared Kelenic's now with the Mariners, and Julio Rodriguez, I expect to be on that team by the summer. Like, their trade, they made great trades. They got Jesse Winker, which bolsters their outfield incredibly. I love Jesse Winker.
Me too. He's just been so good. And last year, he got off to such a crazy start. The oblique injury, I think, is what set him back. And I think they shut him down towards the end of the year.
I thought they were going to get Story, but even their middle infield right now, J.P. Crawford, great defensively, good, pretty solid lefty bat, just gets everyone excited. He reminds me of like Tim Anderson for the White Sox, who we didn't talk about. But
that's like true.
That player that gets everyone excited, gets everyone going, and like he just – that I can't describe it almost. He's just like that guy that you'll know.
The heartbeat.
Yeah, he's the heartbeat of the team.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mason, we're all over the place. Who are you going with?
Well, I know probably many people think the Astros, but I'm going with the Angels. I think they have a pretty solid playoff team. They have Anthony Rendon. They have Shohei. They have Mike Trout. And then they have Noah Syndergaard as well.
You think Syndergaard's going to bounce back?
I'm hoping. I think he definitely can. I don't know. If he does, he'll definitely help him out a ton.
He left the Mets. He'll be a Cy Young contender.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, their bullpen is a lot stronger than last season, and then also the Astros, they lost Carlos Correa, so that's one major thing.
True. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some awards now. Rapid fire MVP prediction.
For the AL, I have Vladimir Guerrero.
Yeah, me too. How could you not?
Yeah.
Jeremy, who are you going with?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be Vlad.
I like it. NL, who are you guys going with?
NL, I'm going Juan Soto.
Yeah, I agree with that one too.
Yeah. Let's go Cy Young predictions. AL, who are you going with?
For the AL, I think I'm going to go with Shane Bieber.
Is it hot in here, or is Jose Barrios just going to win the American League Cy Young? I'm a believer.
I don't understand any of that.
No, like, is it hot in here, like hot take?
I thought I was missing something. Like, that was like a...
Like, is he a flamethrower? Is that what you
want? Yeah, or I was like, Jose Barrios. Is Barrios Spanish for something that has to do with heat? Yeah. Mason, thanks for coming to my aid right there. And wow. Oh, we need to sound the horn then. We got a hot take alert. All right, who are you going for NL?
NL, I think the safe pick is Jacob deGrom.
Yeah. Jeremy, you like that, don't you?
Yeah, I'm definitely.
Like Kirk Cousins.
I'm definitely most excited to see the National League Cy Young Award. I feel like five guys could go out there and win it.
I love five guys burgers.
my front runner, I hinted at this. I think Walker Buehler has the best shot.
AL Rookie of the Year, who you guys got?
I'm going Bobby Witt Jr. I think he's very solid. I like him a lot.
All right. Yeah. Jeremy, who are you going with? Bobby Witt?
Bobby Jr., he's a great hitter. He's number one prospect.
What about NL Rookie of the Year?
I'm going CJ Abrams.
All right. NL Rookie of the Year. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a few young guys that I feel like could shock some people. There's not like one guy, but there's a few. So I think Hunter Green has a good shot for the pitcher for the Cincinnati Reds. Not known by many people, but he throws 104 miles per hour. So he'll get on people's attention pretty quickly, and he'll be in a chance in Cincinnati. Not many guys there, so I think he'll get enough time on that mound.
And the moment we've all been waiting for, who's your World Series pick?
For me, I'm going to have to go. My main pick is going to be the Dodgers, the Blue Jays, and then my secondary pick is the Mets with the Yankees.
Oh,
I just had to say it, you know.
Because eventually you'll be right if you keep saying it.
If I'm going to say the Mets, I have to say the Yankees. I just can't.
No, I respect that. Mason, yeah. I'm with you. I'm going Blue Jays, Dodgers. Toronto is going to be having a parade come October.
Blue Jays, Dodgers. I want to say the Dodgers, but I'm going to say the Blue Jays.
Jeremy, who are you going for World Series picks?
I mean, I obviously agree with that, like Mason's pick, Blue Jays, Dodgers. But I wanted to change it up a little.
Go for it.
I have a big World Series from last year. Both these teams disappointed a little in the playoffs, but Dodgers, White Sox. Yeah, and I also have the Mets versus Blue Jays. And then I always have a sleeper each year.
Who you got?
I have to pick my Seattle Mariners.
I knew you were, yeah.
And then the other side, I feel like the Cardinals. The Cardinals aren't being talked about a lot.
Okay.
Their pitching is fringe to me. That scares me. But their lineup's really good, and they play some good defense.
Hey, guys, this was awesome. I hope we get to keep this tradition going. We get to do this again next year. Obviously, we'll be talking throughout the year, and Jeremy, we'll check in when DeGrom, has a mysterious bruise and has to sit out for 4 weeks. We'll check in and make sure you're doing okay. And Mason, I'll check in on you and make sure that you're doing okay too. When Gary Sanchez is the MVP of the AL. Good luck baseball season this year.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.